Welcome back to the Word for Life radio broadcast. And again, with me in the studio this morning is my friend and guest, Dr. Marty Vaughn, who happens to be the Vice President for Ministry Affairs at Northern Baptist Bible College. My name is Sam Horn, and I pastor the Brookside Baptist Church. Also have the privilege of serving the Lord at Northern Baptist Bible College. Our normal co-host, Dr. Les Olala, is away doing ministry, and so today we're privileged to have Dr. Vaughn. Marty, you've been talking to us about the discovery of prayer, and this is our third broadcast on this topic. You introduced us to the topic and showed us really the value of praying and the necessity of that praying in our life. And then the last time we were together, you were talking about some of the obstacles that come into our life, namely pride. We as men don't really think we need God, and that's why we don't pray. And you had introduced us to two important needs that we have in our life for praying. And I wonder if you could just pick up where you left off. I know our listeners are eager to hear, as I am, what those needs are.
Well, the greatest power behind and the greatest drive and the greatest motive behind the aspect of prayer, in addition to our passion for God, is seeing our desperate need. Because until people see the need for prayer, they will not pray. And we talked about this. In fact, we ended the broadcast with this last time, that many times people simply will not pray until there is a desperation time of need. And that's so sad.
And we've all been there.
We've all been
there.
I mean,
our churches are full of this.
And we need to address this issue. And so I would like to talk about for the next few moments of why we need to pray. First of all, we need to pray because we literally are people of ignorance. Now, I know that goes cross-grained to our culture today, but what I mean by that ignorance is that we have a limited perception. We just don't know how to carry on the affairs of our life. We have a limited perception, and the prayer is the act of bringing my ignorance to God, placing it before Him to receive His omniscience. And so He is the all-knowing one. My perception is limited. He knows all. And time and prayer, by the way, time and prayer will help us. It becomes a reminder of our ignorance. And think of it along these lines. Intellectual advancement in many ways brings intellectual arrogance. And I think that's why we talked about this last time, why that men have a difficult time praying. Well, let's take a man that's working in a research lab. He knows the combinations that he has to bring together to solve the problem. Now, there may be something that he realizes he has to work on, but he feels like, I have the capability. I have the intellectual advancement here to work this out. And then when it's done, sad to say, sometimes there's an intellectual arrogance. Well, do you realize that God can cut our time in half by doing things if sometimes we would just acknowledge Him and ask Him? The supervisor that's having a problem with personnel on the job, he knows what has to be done. He has it kind of all figured out. But wouldn't it be great to bring your ignorance to God's omniscience and not to rely on your intellect, but on His omniscience? Boy, I see this in churches. Let me give you an illustration that that sometimes I think is very practical to what we're talking about. Let's say at your church, although I know that your church is perfect and there's no problems there.
But, starting with the pastor, may I add.
Let's say here's a church, and they're making a huge decision on what kind of carpet, or in particular what the ladies might be more interested in, or what color of carpet is going to be placed in the church.
Many churches have been split over that.
I know. That's what I'm about to say. So here's what happens. This lady has been very vocal, let's say, about a certain color of carpet that she believes, and she probably has good reasons. Most ladies, when it comes to home decor or even church decor, have wonderful, wonderful suggestions. And so let's say she has a good reason. But let's say the pastor stands up in a dictatorial manner, or the chairman of the deacons or whoever, and says, we are not going to have that kind of carpet color in our church. So the lady takes her place and sits down, and nothing's heard from her. Well, a couple of weeks later, you have a guest speaker come to your pulpit, okay? And for some reason, and you haven't talked to him about this issue, but for some reason, somehow in the message, he gets off on to business meetings in the church, and let's say he talks about that carpet.
Ooh.
Oh, guess what? And all of a sudden,
I'd be writing a resignation letter about that point.
The minute he touches on the word carpet, this lady jumps up and literally almost runs out of the auditorium, and her husband gets up and follows. Here's the point. What is the perception that everyone in that congregation, or nearly everyone, or people who are in the know in that congregation have when she walks out and that guest speaker's hit carpet?
That the pastor primed the pump with the guest speaker.
Okay, now let me tell you the end of the story. The lady comes back to church with her husband, and sitting next to she and her husband are another lovely couple. And as you sometimes, I know as a pastor, do take time to have people share personally how God is working in their life or whatever, and it's a Sunday night service, and before your guest speaker comes to the platform to speak in that Sunday night service, you say, is there anyone that has something that God has done in your life recently? And this lady that has this couple sitting next to them, she frantically is waving her hand. Now, in the morning service, she got up and ran out with her husband when the word carpet was mentioned. And you probably, maybe, reluctantly call on her and think, uh-oh, maybe she brought two other people back to convince us that our color was wrong. But, you know, the lady says, folks, some of you saw me. I hated to leave the service in such haste this morning with my husband, but we had a luncheon appointment with these folks that are with us tonight, and they were so concerned about how they could come to know Christ as Savior. And my husband and I had the privilege of seeing these people trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're so excited. Pastor, they can hardly wait for you to talk to them about baptism and their next step in their Christian journey. And all of a sudden, we realize what? My perception was wrong. Because the guest speaker spoke about carpet, and this lady had been so adamant about the kind of carpet color, and she got up and ran out. Why? You know what the reason was? We had limited perception.
Yep. We didn't know.
That's right. We operate off a limited perception. Prayer is seeing that I need to know. I need to know God, first of all. But I need to know about life. I need to know how that I can, as Jeremiah said, direct my steps. Because, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself.
That's a powerful illustration, Marty, because all of us do it. I can't tell you the number of times as a pastor I've learned over the years, you never talk to guest speakers about what's going on in your church. You let the Lord talk to them, even though you may want to.
Right.
And you don't ever use current things that are going on in your sermons because of the very thing. But it's amazing how right in the middle of your message, there will be something in the text that you're preaching that, boy, the Spirit of God will cause to come out. And, you know, it's part of your preaching. It's part of what the text has to say. And yet the very thing you're talking about, the perception of people out there is, uh-oh, pastor said something to him, or uh-oh, pastor's taking a cheap shot here. And really, it's the Spirit of God moving. Not only do we have wrong perceptions in the way that you mentioned, but sometimes we have wrong perceptions and we end up doing very unrighteous type of things and thinking because of that wrong perception.
That's exactly right. I mean, and how often have I been as a person, I've looked on someone coming into our own congregation or into our own church, and I've seen the way the person is dressed or the way some of his external or her external appearance is, and in my sad, judgmental, critical, limited perception mind, I've already put this person in some category of life as being unspiritual or not knowing the Lord, only to find out that this person really loves Jesus Christ but has never been discipled or has never had anyone come alongside them in their personal spiritual journey. And so one of the problems that we face and why we really need to pray is the matter of our limited perception.
And prayer really is our coming to acknowledge in our own private lives that God really is omniscient.
That's right. And we need to know, really, our aspect is that we need to deliver our ignorance to his omniscience. Mm-hmm. The second reason that we talked about our desperate need for prayer is we need to bring not only our ignorance to his omniscience, but we need to bring our impotence to his omnipotency. We have not only limited perception, Pastor Horn, we have limited power. I love this verse, 2 Chronicles 20:12. Israel's in desperate shape. The enemy is surrounding them, and here's the cry, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Listen to this. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on thee. And so we are people who are powerless without his power flowing through us. And our great need in our lives is that people would see Christ in us. You know, so much emphasis, and rightly so, is given to the fact that we need to be a reflection of Jesus Christ, that we need to walk in Christ-likeness, that people must see Jesus Christ in us. But, you know, how do they see Christ in us apart from his power upon us?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's God's power that makes the difference in a person's life. And so we have limited perception and we have limited power. These, I believe, are the two tremendous needs of why a person needs to pray.
And you know, it's interesting. It's not just the people sitting in the pew that need to recognize that. In fact, if the people who are in the pulpits don't recognize that, it's very, very hard for the people in the pews to pick that up. You know, as a pastor, oftentimes I sit across the desk from people and their lives are in serious, serious trouble. They've made decisions, their past history or whatever, and they've come to that place finally where they want help. And I don't know what to say to them.
And they're hurting. They're hurting so much. And I know you because of our laboring together and working together in so many different, through the years, and so many things that we've done together. And we are in a place where we have to cry out for God and his power and his might. You know, Jesus, in the desperate situation, what did he say to the disciples? This happening only changes in this person's life through prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. In other words, what was he saying? He was not just saying that we need to exercise prayer, but we need to see God's power, and God's power comes through prayer.
I think one of the things I'm taking away from this conversation that we've had today, as we discover the importance of prayer anew in our life, is that I don't just need to pray that God would help me with the answer, but that he would really give me insight into the problem. What's really happening here? Well, Marty, you've ministered my own heart today in the program, and I'm sure that many, many of our listeners would say the same thing. We want to take time to thank each of you for listening and for the prayers and for the support that you so often tell us about and send by way of cards and notes and emails. For those of you that are interested in helping us financially, you may send your donation to the address given here at the end of the broadcast in a few moments. For those of you that send a donation of $10 or more in, made out to the Word for Life radio broadcast, we will send you a copy of Dr. Olala's latest publication, a devotional manual entitled Manna. Again, thank you for listening, and Dr. Vaughn, thank you for being with us and for wrapping up.